Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. It is the final week before Christmas. And is there anybody here that is ready to fully celebrate Christmas? Maybe. I'm hearing some hesitation. Maybe there's some anxiety. Maybe we want to be ready. We're not quite ready. Maybe some of us are like, yes, let's just get it over with. You know, we're in the continuing our Christmas series, our Christmas and Advent series called Simply Christmas, Christmas Without the Chaos. And we're exploring ways that we can simplify our holiday life, that we can reduce the stress and experience more hope, love, joy, and peace. And if you're like me, you could use that, right? You know, a few weeks ago, we began by addressing the differences between our wants and our needs. But then we explore the beauty of experiencing Christ around the table. And last week, we talked about our obsession with clothes and fashion. And if you missed any of these, I want to invite you to go to our website or open up or download our church app. And there you can watch our previous messages and catch up. But today, we're addressing something very similar. It's our copious amounts of stuff and our addictions to shopping. I mean, literally, we spend, buy, collect, and create a frenzy of stuff during the holidays. And as a result, we end up with too much stuff. Anybody else? And probably even too much credit card debt. You don't have to raise your hand on that. But ironically, we do this all in the name of Christmas. Yet the reality is, Jesus is our purpose for Christmas. And he is the ultimate gift, giving us his all and reminding us that there is a more important gift. Let's find out more. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Our scripture reading is verses 7 through 11. And follow along as we hear the good news. It says, then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search carefully for the child. And when you found him, report to me so that I may go and honor him. When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they honored him. And then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may we worship you with our best, and may we find better ways to share your presence through our presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm guessing that every single one of us in here right now, if you were to go home, somewhere in your house, you would find a plastic container for Christmas decorations. Am I right? Yeah. And if you're like us, you probably have more than one. You probably have several. You may even have a village of containers for your Christmas decorations. Now, I know those that know where I live and come by the house looking at my yard, it's pretty sparse. But trust me, if you walk in the house, Fran has decorated it festively for the holidays. From the 3-foot-tall nutcracker to the iron Christmas tree with the village of ornaments to our normal tree with 30 years of Hallmark ornaments, which we only use about half of. And then there's also the many other handmade ornaments that are hanging on it. And I have a whole shelving system in the garage just to hold all of these boxes of Christmas stuff. Anybody identify with me? Yeah? All right, thank you. So I knew I wasn't alone, because many of us in our holiday frenzied to get everything decorated and set up and have it just right. We scramble, and by the time it's time to celebrate, by the time it's time for the party, we're exhausted, and we would rather sit in our PJs on the couch watching mediocre Christmas movies and singing Bah Humbug with Scrooge and the Grinch. And the funny thing is, the result of all of this is our unnatural attachment with stuff. And if we're honest, we don't stop at Christmas. I mean, maybe for you it's dishes or tools or a movie or book collection, or maybe it's stuffed animals or models or something else you collect but you never use. I mean, whatever floats your boat. Now, some of us are probably thinking, is he going to ask me to get rid of all that? No. I'm not asking you to get rid of it all or donate it all. And that would hurt, because a lot of it has an emotional attachment. I'm not looking to cause pain. We're looking to alleviate pain. And specifically, I want us to think about how we want to help reduce someone else's pain. So let's ask ourselves, who could we benefit from receiving the things that we don't really need? I mean, it's that simple. Who can you bless today or this holiday with the things that you don't really need, the things you don't use, and even the things you're holding on to that you don't even want? I mean, while you're at it and you're going through your stuff and you're thinking about what to keep and what to donate, there's some mental stuff that comes with that stuff. Am I right? I mean, we've got baggage attached to some of that stuff. And so I'm going to call this the two-for-one special, because maybe you have something that reminds you of something that hurt you or someone that hurt you, and that pain keeps you captive. And every time you see that item, you're reminded of that pain. And I want to ask you, why? Why do you still own it? Why do you still keep it? And why do you still let it own you? Personal example, I used to have this lovely book clock that was given to me by a girlfriend, and I kept that thing for years after we broke up. I was devastated when we broke up, and so I held on to that for decades before I finally got rid of it. Then, on another occasion, there was a time that my mother held on to her grandmother's antique Dutch dining room set. Oh, it was lovely and beautiful. That it had been unused and neglected, sitting in storage. And when she could finally let go of it, guess what she did? She gave it to me. So I had no place for it. But the guilt kept me from getting rid of it. And it sat in the garage for 2 years in dire need of repair. And after a lot of anguish, I finally called her up and convinced her to allow me to do something with it. And I finally found a collector who could restore it and repair it. And I sold it to them for a song, and it made their day. And you know what? I'm convinced that my great-grandmother in heaven couldn't care less about that dining room set. When we think about what our Heavenly Father wants, maybe it's not all of this stuff. Maybe we can change our chaotic approach to Christmas. You know, in our scripture today, we find a story that's simply Christmas. So there's this group of magi that are looking for a king. Most of us know who magi are, but if you don't know what a magi is, a magi are considered wise people. Some people call them magicians, some of them call them priests, but they're people who are supposed to know a lot of stuff. And they find this star in the east, and they follow it as it leads them to a king that is to be the king. And as they followed it, they went to the only king they knew in the area. Ironically, this was Herod the Great, and he was a king who was all about himself. And he had his own wish lists of things he wanted, things to get, things to possess, things to accomplish, and people to kill. Now, these magi, who are supposedly wise men, they have to stop and ask for directions. And when they go to what we would consider as an evil king, asking where the one true king is. Doesn't sound real wise to me. While King Herod helps them, he does so only for his own benefit because he wants to maintain his grasp on power. He wants to keep his stuff. And so he sends them on their way with orders to report back to him because on his list is to kill this newborn king. Yet the Magi discard his wish list and instead they bring their gifts to the newborn king. And while we don't know the names of the Magi, and as Terry said, that you know we have stories and movies and plays that kind of give us fun names for them, what's important is not their names. What's important is what they represent and what they came to do. Because their story is one that is devoid of shopping wish lists in homes full of clutter. Instead, we see the Magi following a special star, traveling to a simple home, and entering full of joy when presenting and worshiping with their great gifts. And these gifts are more than a symbol of their own status of who they were as educated or powerful people. Instead, they represented the identity of the one who receives the gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, all layered in nuance. Gifts fit for a king, royal gifts full of symbolism. The gold is Christ's kingship and royalty. The frankincense, an aromatic resin used for royal perfumes and also as incense for priestly worship. And myrrh is another aromatic spice used for anointing and preparing the dead for burial. Overall, these gifts represent who Jesus, the Christ child, is as God, as priest, and ultimately how Christ would serve as the one who sacrifices his own life for us. Because one day, this baby would show us what God is truly like, would free us from our sins, our debts, our trespasses, and would give everything of himself by facing and experiencing death on our behalf and in our place. And as the Magi presented these great gifts, full of meaning, they fall on their knees, honoring and worshiping the Christ child through their giving. Their true wisdom was found through their own humility and worship. So, looking at them and thinking of that Christmas moment, how might this contrast to our own Christmas and to our wish lists and shopping and collecting of stuff this time of year? This is hard. It's not meant to guilt us, but it's hard when we think about it because we've been conditioned most of our lives to want and to collect and to have and to keep. And it's time for us to recondition ourselves towards finding ways that we can experience Christmas without all the chaos by reducing our own clutter. This time, let's make our gifts count by offering great gifts like the Magi and using our giving as worship. And then what if we also were able to worship Christ with great gifts and reduce our clutter? Wouldn't that be great? Well, let's start with what we already have. When we put a positive spin on it, we can begin sorting through our stuff and look for what we can donate. And this creates a sense of excitement because we're not only helping someone else, we're also helping ourselves out because we're clearing the clutter out of our own homes. Now, this might seem scary, but it's something that will help. But also realize that this newfound space isn't an excuse to rush out and to buy new. Instead, it's an opportunity to reduce the inflow. And I mean this thinking about, when did Christmas become all about lists to check off anyway? Instead, let's think of alternative gifts. What if we gather with our family and talk with our family about gifts that don't cost money? Like helping a neighbor, or serving in the community, or donating our stuff, you know, some of that stuff we don't want, don't need, don't use, donating that to someone in need. Or maybe we could exchange a day of shopping and spend it with a friend or a family member that we don't get to see often enough. And maybe we can use these kinds of moments to be the Jesus that we're celebrating. We can be his presence to the world. Maybe when we're decorating, we realize it's okay that we don't have to get everything out of the attic or take everything off the shelves. Maybe instead we can just pick a few things that we really want to decorate with and use that as an opportunity to only put the most important things out. And then it makes it much easier for us to see the other things that still have meaning, but that we don't use. And maybe we can give them to a family member or to a friend, and we can make it as a sentimental gift to them to help encourage them through this season. The reality is there are so many people struggling to have a holiday at all. So what ornaments or kitchen utensils or furniture can we give to help them make their holiday? And then once we give it away, we don't replace it. But if we do this, if we practice this, if we start to do this, I imagine that you'll find soon, year after year, you'll find that you need a little less space. You need a little less stuff, a little less hustle, a little less busyness, maybe even a little less success. And in turn, you find a little more family, a little more time with friends, a little more time around the table, a little more conversation on the porch, a little more having friends over, and a little more church, and a little more laughter, and a little more gratitude. 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child, but now I have become a man, and I put an end to childish things." And he's making a contrast from before he knew Christ to after he knew Christ. And he was already knowledgeable before he knew Christ about his religion and about the faith and about, he was a Pharisee that was an up-and-comer, and he was supposed to be a great Pharisee. But then he experienced Christ, and he grew, and he matured in his faith. And Jesus changed how he saw the world. He changed how he thought about himself and how he thought about others. And growing up, maturing in our faith, it helps us decipher our needs from our wants. It gives us wisdom from foolishness. And it also changes our me to an us. And it helps us discern the difference between the screams of, "I want, I want, I want," to the whispers of, "I need." And it helps us to hear the voices of those on the margins. Because those on the margins are who Jesus clearly identified with. The poor, the downtrodden, the outcast. They were his neighbors. And he told us that when we listen and when we follow in his ways, then we become his sisters and brothers. What if we tried that? What if we tried this together by less consuming together and more giving and serving together? If we do this, do you think that our stuff might lose its grip on our lives? Do you think that our priorities might change? As followers of Christ, we have a communal responsibility to do and to be better. That's why our church's mission statement, we say that we are making life better and making you better at life through Jesus Christ. Richard Rohr said it like this in his book, Simplicity. He said, "We're just about to become adults, to honestly let the gospel speak to us, to listen to what Jesus says in no uncertain terms about poverty and about leading a simple life in this world, a life that shows trust in God and not in our own power and weapons. God never promised us security in the world. God promised us only truth and freedom in our hearts. What does all this mean for us? It means we're on the way. What a beautiful idea. Let's prove this theory correct, that this Christmas, let's make it a simplified Christmas with more Christ and less chaos. And I believe that we can find great gifts and a greater sense of satisfaction, not how much we own and how much stuff we have, but rather in a simpler life, that elusive happiness that is actually right under our nose. And who knows, we may even end up a little countercultural because instead of getting caught up in the culture of consumeristic chaos, we discover the joy and the peace of radical generosity. After all, God is a generous God. The truth is, our greatest gift we've ever received is His Son, Jesus Christ. And when it's all said and done, we're dying to discover what is simple and magnificent about the Savior of the world coming to us, putting on human flesh, being incarnate, fully human, fully God, and saving our lives, my life, your life, all of our lives. Because He has changed us. He has changed our life, and He has changed history forever. And He has transformed our concepts of hope and peace and salvation, all because He loves us. God's faithful love, it stretches all the way to the heavens, and right back down to us, and to me, and to you. When we remove all the clutter out of the way, all the gift lists, all the wants, we find what we need, that God's greatest gift is God's presence and God's peace. So let us celebrate Jesus as our greatest gift, because He is our Redeemer and our Restorer in every way. So may we accept Him and honor Him and worship Him this Christmas. Amen?